Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you. Yerushus, barely. The Rosh Yeshiva. Let's get cracking. Okay, so I'll start with the Maisa. This just happened. I was in Chutz La'aretz just the other week. Last week, I was on my way back from the Heilige, New Jersey. And we got on the plane. This part's totally not relevant. It's really an intro to the next story. But the flight was supposed to take off on Monday at 1:15. 1:15 Monday, and we got on the plane. I actually got there 9 in the morning to make sure I was going to make it, because my marriage is dependent on it. And so, got there early enough, got on the plane, comes along 1:15, and 1:15 passes. They finally get on the mic, and they say, you know, in Hebrew, it's give it a time, right? And then in English, it's like, yo, what's up, everyone? Right? So they, yeah. But anyway, he says, sorry, we're not able to close the doors, we're having a problem, right? At least they didn't say, like, there's a, you know, anyone ever flown before? And they go, there's a problem with the engine. We're looking to fix it. Hopefully we will succeed. You know? Couldn't you just tell me? You don't have your paperwork? Like, what do you got? In any event. So we get on 1:15. The guys say we're having a problem. Hopefully we'll be able to shut the door. 20 minutes later, can't do it. Half an hour later, hour later, after 2 hours of sitting on the plane, this person sitting next to me turns to me and goes, do you think they're going to be able to fix it? So I said, I don't know. And just then, you hear the click of the you know, that thingamajig up there, speaker thing. And you hear the pilot going, I said, I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good, right? And he goes, "Good time, good time. What's up?" We unfortunately we're going to have to ask everyone to deplane. Everyone, please get off the plane. We're going to have to, you know, send it back to the hangar, get it fixed, you know, wash and dry and everything. Okay. So you know, we've all had times in our lives that things have upset us. That things get a little bit that fluster us and might get us frustrated. And you know, then someone comes along and they say, "Gamza Latova." Now, it depends. It's very crucial when the person says Gamza Latova. If you're already upset and then they say Gamza Latova, that's when you reach back and go, this is also Gamza, right? And they're like, why Gamza Latova, right? So then you say that. But if you haven't yet got upset, then Gamza Latova actually might help, right? Everyone hear that? Does that make sense to the three of you at least? Any three? Okay, good. Right? Then Gamza Latova actually may help. So what happens? The guy, as soon as he finishes his speech, he goes, we're going to have to get off the plane. If we want to take your stuff, click. Some Hasidic guy yells out, Gamza Latova! In the middle of the plane. So the first next time, I'm like, Gamza Latova! Right? Let's get off, right? And I think it really set the mode for everybody else. Now, it was unbelievably freezing. These are two relevant statements, which will become in a moment. It was very, very cold in New York. And New York, New Jersey, whatever, I was in tri-state. And when I got back, I got off the plane, and I, you know, cab driver, because what else would you do with life? How do speakers get stories if not in cab drivers? So I say to the guy, wow, you know, New York is very cold. He's like, right? So I said, why do you gotta talk like the Terminator? Like, why does it have to be? Sorry, but is that only one? Why do you gotta talk like like someone with a deep voice? Yeah. So okay, he goes, atelo yedem azekor. Right? For those who don't speak, right, it means tu no conoces que es frío, right? And he says in English, you don't know what cold is, right? So I said, please enlighten me. What's cold? So he tells me the following story. Phenomenal. He says that many years ago, right, this cab driver, I mean, he looked like he was 65 or something, but he's like 114 years ago when I was a kid. He goes, I was going to join the army. And I wanted to join a certain part of the army, a certain area called Sayeret Matkal. Has anyone ever heard of such a thing before? Anyone? Why have you heard of such a thing? The Mamas in the Yeshiva Sevelt, and you know that. Oh, anyway, so he wanted to join this thing called Sayeret Matkal. Sayeret Matkal is quite an elite unit. I don't know if it's the same level, but it's on par, or, you know, up there with what they call Shayetet 13, Shlosh Esrei, which is like the Navy SEALs, or say the opposite, Navy SEALs are like them. But you don't know any of this stuff, Pathnish, no bread. So, in any event, he was going for this, right? Now, to be part of this, this is not Pashit. This is, as I'm going to say, Nishta bullshit. You had to go through, they start with hundreds of applicants, and it boils down to get to, like, less than that. And then it gets to a point where there's like 60 of them, and then there's like two. And this guy ends up being one of the two. And this is what he starts telling me, Talud de Mazakor. He said, you know, in the winter, we had to go out and jump in the ocean. You got to stay in the ocean. And you got to stay. And then they have this one thing where they fill up this pool with ice and fill it with water. It's freezing cold, and you got to go under the water and stay under the water for the entire duration of the exercise. It's not long; it's like 20 hours, and you have to stay under there. You can't come up the whole time. Now, how do you live? That's the point. You don't. That's why there's so few people that make it. But one of the ways that you live is they give you a snorkel, right? They give you a little snorkel, and that thing goes up over the water. And while you're under the water, it's just nasty water, like whatever. It's not, you guys know it's the mikvah. And he's like, you know, it's after 3 days. They say Yashka walked on water. It's no kunst after 3 day yontif. Anyone could walk in that water. Anyway, so bottom line is what he was. He's underneath the water, and they're just having fun with the guy. They're just having fun. They just like throw bombs at you, and they like, you know, and you're not allowed to come up. And one of the things, so he said, it's so cold that your mind starts to shut down. It's just so cold, and that's what we want to test you. You're going to be in situations that you're not going to be able to. One of the things they do is while the snorkel is above, they'll fill water in your snorkel. They'll start putting it in. Right? So some of you may think like and rightfully so. So how do you breathe? So you have to have the presence of mind to blow it out, right? In order to be able to then continue on. Okay, so he's going through this whole thing. As he's going through this whole thing, it's down to like the wire. There's like only a couple, him and one other guy. And he starts to feel a tremendous pain in his stomach. And he's wondering, like, what is this? But he doesn't want to give up. He's not stopping. He's keep going. And he gets to a point where he's like all hunched over as he's walking. And they're like, give it up, man. Just give up. You know, get out. You know, you can still leave. And he's like, no. So, okay, fine, to dump. So he keeps going. And it gets more difficult to the point where he can't even walk anymore. He's on all fours. He's crawling on his own. And like, they're like, okay, that's it. It's over. He's like, no, I must continue. And they said, sorry, dude, this is no longer, they didn't really say dude, but you know what I'm saying? They say whatever you call the guy in Hebrew. And they said, slicha guy. Yeah, you know, you can't do it. You're out, right? This is no longer a request. This is a command, get in the ambulance, right? So they take him, they throw him in, they miss, he hits his head. Okay, fine, they pick him up, they put him back in, and they take him to Rambam Medical Center. When he gets to the hospital, every doctor in the hospital is waiting for him because they want to see, like, how do they mess up these guys? They love to see how they mess them up. So when they come in, they're all like, they're checking him up and down, they find nothing wrong. So they're like, why are you here? He said, I don't know. He said, but why are you here, right? Like, well, then why are you here? If you don't know, then what are you doing here, right? And he said, they sent me here. Why did they send you here? Well, I'll tell you, I was having a tremendous pain. I didn't want to come, but on the ambulance, on the way here, it passed. I don't feel anything anymore. I'm totally fine. So they're like, what? Maybe it's his appendix. Maybe his appendix burst. Maybe it moved over. They check. They find nothing. Like, that's it. Okay, clean bill of health. They're going to send him back. So he calls back the unit. They're like, listen, we're really sorry, but you left. And protocol is, if you leave, you're out. And the guy's like, are you out of, what? He's like, you sent me out. I didn't leave. They're like, sorry, you're out. And he was very, very disturbed by this whole thing. But they said, you know what? We'll tell you what. We'll throw you a little bone here. If you start over, and so I say to the guy, I was, you know, I'm you in the cab. I'm like, Bemet? Me'atchala? And it had to do with that thing, because I know he needed me to be excited. So I said, Me'atchala? So he says to me, Lo me'atchala, ani yodea, lo me'atchala. He said, start from the beginning, just take the initial course, it's like however long it is, not like the 25 years and 20 hours underwater thing, and if you pass that, we'll put you right through to the end, and then see what you do. He's like, fine deal. One thing led to another, he didn't tell me what those things were, and he ended up not even going back. He joined what's called Golani. Okay, now, when he then what happens, he finished his whole service there, and he's done 20 years later. 20 years, so now we're at 94 years ago. 20 years later, what happened? 20 years later, he found out what went on and how, thank the law for what happened. You see, unfortunately, there's a very terrible story, and it's not such a happy moment in Israel's history, that there is a place in Israel, which is known as Nachal Kishon. Has anybody heard of this place before? Nachal Kishon. Nachal Kishon is where, you see, what happened was every one of the people that were in the unit that he was about to join, every one of them either died a horrible death of Yena Machala, of this terrible illness, or they're still alive today but living out a miserable, painful life. Why? Because this area where they used to train, which he never ended up training there because he never got in, this area where they used to train was right around a lot of factories. And since it was around all these factories used to dump into the waters right around there all their chemical waste, any sort of nuclear, all this terrible stuff into the water. And that's exactly where they used to train. So he said he found out about this, makes a suzo da, etc. You see, this sums up, it's just a little more recent, but it's just to say, this sums up the whole story of Purim. Any story you can come up with, a gamzu latova, of a komadav achmara latava, of a thing which everything looks, this is terrible, this is horrible, things you're working for that you want more than anything, and then they get flipped on their heads, and because of the fact that this happened, this is the very thing that ended up, that saved his life. Now, I always, you know, I teach in Aish, so I always get the people that ask the other, what about the other people that died? Like, what about that? And I say, that's another shir, right? But the reality is, we also talked about that here, right? The idea of Tzadik Varalo, Shavatovlo, maybe we didn't talk about that. Okay, maybe another time. But the idea is that, in reference to the positive that happened to this fellow, the idea is understanding that Gamzu L'Tova. Now, sometimes we get the zchus, we get the merit to be able to see the end of the story. We get to see the end of the story. But many times, we don't ever see it. We go through life, we never see the end of the story. And we never understood really what was going on, and we never know what was really good and what was really bad, etc. We never see what's happening. So this is one where he had the merit. He's able to see it. It took 20 years to come out. When it finally came out, he's able to say, like, oh, this actually wasn't something which is bad. This is something which was actually good. I want to tell you, I used to be able to, I used to be able to talk about secular athletes in a way that you could learn something from, right? We know, the Mishnah Avos says, Ezu, Chacham. Good, this is great, you guys are right on par, I love this one. Three of you know one or two chazals, right? And the rest of you go, Shabbos, right? So, chazals say, Ezu, chacham, haroos, hanolad. That's true, but it's not enough. Alba says, Ezu, chacham, halomid, mikol, adam. Anyone who learns from all people, right? So, I'll just tell you, I'm just going to shift, you'll excuse, you have to stay with my head here. It might take you, it might be challenging. But, what just happened now, I just thought of the fact that I was once with my brother in a shul somewhere in the world, and there we were. And we saw these people behaving very inappropriately in terms of just the way that they were speaking to each other. It was very, very horrible. And I was thinking to myself, the Mishnah says, Ezu Chacham, I don't mean to be called Adam. What can I learn from this? And we understand that what's the answer? There's some things that we learn what to do, and some things we learn what not to do. So the story, I want to tell you two athletes that I used to tell you learned what to do, but now we learn what not to do. Right, one of them was a fellow by the name of Lance Armstrong, right? Has anybody heard of him before? Right, you know, a guy who won the Tour de France, I think it was 7 or 8 times. I mean, he didn't have any unfair advantages besides drugs. And, you know, so it used to be like he wrote a book about how you persevere and if you push, and as long as you dope, everything will be fine, right? So it's like, great. Now the guy comes out with this, there goes every muscle, you know? Okay, so I came up with another guy. This guy's name is Oscar Pistorius. I don't even know who he is. He just accidentally killed his girlfriend a couple of times. So the muscle, which I used to, but I can still use him as a, so now you know what not to do, right? No dope and no killing people. Okay, but what do you do? I don't know about Armstrong, but let's talk about Oscar for a moment. I was listening, I was listening on the radio to a station called BBC. It's the most trusted news site besides CNN. And basically, they were interviewing this fellow by the name of Oscar Pistorius, who, for those who aren't familiar with who he is a fellow who is an amputee. Both of his legs were amputated at the age of 11 months because he got cancer. And what happened was that now he has, like, I don't know, a fiber optic cables coming out or something like that. And he wants to, like, sling blade. He has this, these things where he... So he wanted to run in the Olympics. He wanted to run. He became a runner. He wanted to run the Olympics. Problem was that there was a lot of controversy. He wanted to run in the Olympics in the regular, where the able-bodied division, regular, straight up, no sort of, someone who was any handicapped, straight up running. And there was all debate. Does he have an unfair advantage? Does he not have an unfair advantage, etc.? Now, as I'm listening to this interview between him, this was in 2011, because 2012 was the London Games. So 2011, they're talking to him, and they say to him, So, just curious, if you could have your legs back, would you want them? Now, I don't know if this is shocking to anyone here, but I literally almost crashed the car, over expression, you know, but I almost crashed the car. I was like, Are you real? Are you not? I was like waiting for a gunshot. And okay, I'm a Navi, but I was like waiting for something. And I was like thinking, like, how the audacity, what kind of insensitive question do you ask a person who doesn't have legs? Would you want your legs back? I was thinking, like, how could he ask such a, what a, oh my God. And there's a silence. I'm like, oh, he's going to get it. Mm-mm. So the guy says, listen, you know, I thought about this a lot, says Oscar, and I'll tell you the truth. On the one hand, of course, who wouldn't want him back? On the other hand, I wouldn't be who I am today had I not gone through this and had I not experienced such a thing. So you see, this is an idea where we find a negative, which actually in itself comes out to be a positive. A negative which itself comes out to be a positive. Now you're going to see this actually is related, and we're going to make it not just bar mitzvah related in terms of a gematria to say Mazel Tov Purim. It actually will be somewhat connected. We're going to see how connected it is in just a moment. Wow. So the month of Adar is a very an amazing month. And there's so many reasons why. One of them is the following idea. So you know, if you take a look, going back to what is it connected to this month of Adar, we know that the idea of smell and the idea of the nose is connected to the month of Adar. Have you guys learned such a thing before? So sounds familiar? Fish as well. Fish like to, but they can't smell. Right? So the idea of smell is very much connected. We're going to see how much this is connected. That if you go back to the Chet of Adam HaRishon, we know that what was involved in the Chet. What was involved in the chait? If you want to make it more obvious of what I'm talking about, let's just jump in the gun a little bit. We know Esther's name was Hadassah. Hadassah is, right? The myrtle branch, right? The idea. So the Hadassah, the idea of the smell of the myrtle. We have the idea of Mordechai. Where is Mordechai found? Mordor comes along and he says, who's that? Moridechi, he says, right? So he said, Mordechai, the deal. All of smell. Smell is a very powerful thing. How does it apply over here? What does it have a connection with anything? So we know that all of the senses were used by Adam HaRishon with the chait of Adam HaRishon. When I say all of them, I mean excluding one of them. I don't know if you can guess which one. So if you take a look at the ear, what happened with the ear? The ear was Chava listened to the snake, right? They had a discussion, Chava listened to the snake. The mouth is they ate. They ate from whatever the fruit was. And they also speaking against Hashem. The hands went and took the fruit. The eyes, the heart wants what the eyes see. And they go ahead and they go and they get connected. The only thing that didn't get affected was the idea of smell. And I'll tell you, amazing, I heard this from a friend of mine, Rusel Majeski. He quoted it from the Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael, he says the following, the Gemara Brachos and Daf Mem Dalet asks a question. The Gemara says, how do we know what bracha that, I'm sorry, how do we know that we make a bracha on smell? How do we know bracha? Anyone know? Anyone learn the Gemara Brachos? Yeah, how do we know? Fantastic, very good. The Gemara says, Kol Neshama Tahalol Ka, or the Tahalol, and every Kol Neshima V'Neshima, and every breath we go ahead and we make and we praise the Lord, right? And now the question is, how come, says Ben Yisrael, why do we ask the question about smell? Why does it say, how do you know you make a bracha when you eat, I was going to say something which is chalos tam, I'm sorry. How do you know you make a bracha when you eat pas Yisrael, right? What's that? Yeah, that would have been it. How do we know when you have, let's say, Reese's Kilu flavored, but not the real thing? Right? How do you know that you make a bracha when you eat something? How do you know you make a bracha when you hear something? It doesn't ask that, but it does ask, how do you know you make a bracha when you smell something? So the question is, what's the question? Why, you know, the Gemara in bracha, Slamet, hey, can anyone call an edible and a zebel bracha, Kilu Gosman, a Kosh bracha? What a Kilu Gosman, get a mall, go to Chacham, is a Chacham going to help? Okay, man, Kara, don't come to do it. It comes along with Benyon. He says the idea of what? And we know the only times that you have to go, you have to make a bracha. Achila, shtila, recha. Because it's a very famous question. You want to call a nanim and olamazeb lo bracha, right? And when you get to Hanas, what if you jump in a cold pool on a hot day, right? Or you're trying for Sayeret Matkal and it's a cold pool on a cold day, right? But you want to get in, right? So you need to make a bracha. The answer is no, you don't make a bracha. Why not? Achila, shtila, recha. Says Rabbi Nayon. Achila, shtila, recha. Right? So we find over here that why isn't it asked over here? And now we can understand a little bit. You know why? Because nothing else got messed up. The hearing, the seeing, the touching, the tasting, that was part, it became upset, ruined from the idea of the chait. But smell didn't. Therefore, how do you know that you go ahead and then you make a bracha on it, right? So they say the reason why you go is you do a kol shema taluka. Amazing thing that we find, what is smell? What's connected to smell? When does something smell? Something smells when something goes wrong, when something is off, when something is bad, right? You open up the milk in yeshiva and there's a couple of pieces in it and you're like, what is this? And the Rosh Yeshiva says it's cottage cheese, right? And then you just put it back, right? And you're like, what was it? Why does that happen? Answer is because it loses its essence. When something loses its purpose, it starts to smell. What's the highest level of something? The avi avos, a body. When a body goes empty, they lose the neshama. We find smell so connected to what? To the neshama. When a person goes ahead and we say avdala, what do we do when we say avdala? We know that we have a neshama yisera, says the Gemara Beit, so we get a neshama yisera. Why do you get a neshama yisera? It's wild. Imagine sitting down on a Tuesday night. Anyone? Good. Now imagine sitting down on a Friday. None of you were. Okay, but imagine sitting down on a Tuesday night and eating challah, and then having dips, and then having fish, and then having soup, and then having meatballs, and then having meat, and then having chicken, and then having chicken soup, and then so, poof, your pants explode, right? And like the whole thing just like pops open, your shirt's like, and then oh, the Gemara Megillah, there's always room for dessert, right? Bring out the plate, let's eat the plate, right? And what happens, you go ahead, and then Gary Nim, and then popcorn, oh, that Oneg Shabbos, and then you have an Oneg, and then you wake up, and the next day, what do? Kiddush Club, right? And then what happens after the Kiddush Club? Kiddush, and then after the Kiddush, bar mitzvah, and then it's a bat mitzvah, and it's the same person. It's crazy. And you have to go, and then you have a person, everything, and you eat and eat. Nobody could do that on a Tuesday. On the Shami Yisera, we have an Shami Yisera, and the Gemara says, why? So we can eat more. Did I get that right? Right, so we can eat more. Amazing! I say Neshama Sarah. What happens when our Neshama Sarah leaves? It has to be consoled. The Neshama has to be consoled. What is it consoled by? By besamim, by smell. We go out and we smell in order to bring that back. We bring that smell to bring it back. Something, when its potential is not used. And what happens? We go, we eat something, our food is digested, we go to the bathroom, it smells. Why? Because it's not useful anymore. It's done. When something isn't useful, it totally loses it. Haman comes along, and what does he want to do? Haman Bu decides that what he's going to do, he's going to come along and he's going to destroy the Jewish people. When is he going to destroy the Jewish people? We know Haman is Amalek. And what's he going to do? He's going to come and destroy the Jewish people. He's going to do a poor, he's going to do Purim, he's going to do this lottery, and this lottery is going to go ahead. Why a lottery? Because it's like Amalek. Everything on Malik is just chance. That's what it is. Let's do a lottery. The whole thing is chance anyway. And it comes out of nowhere. He's like, yeah, Moshe, he died, and it's good. You know, let's do it then. And we're going to, and the God, he does this whole thing in a month where, like, what are we going to do? And we're done. We're done for, right? Unbelievable. Haman's going to take us out. How's he going to take us out, though? He's going to take us out in a month, which is the most kadosh month, the holiest month of the year, the month where we go ahead and the thing which is not pogum, the thing which is the most pure of everything of smell. Are you nuts? And he ends up losing to this, right? He's losing to the concept because he chose the wrong one accidentally by accident, right? His whole idea was what? Was let's go do it. Everything is random. There's no Kaddish Baruch, there's no anything. We have to find a month that's going to be the most random, and then we're going to go and we're going to take him out. And if you look through the whole story looks like this idea. Everything is just happening, one thing to the next. Everything is normal. Everything is just occurring. Things just move from one thing to the next. We just happen to move the whole capital city. I mean, I'm sure you guys went through it. I don't want to have to do it. The Gra and the Megillah, if you haven't, do it. And if you have, do it again. Right? But the Gra and Megillah says that it goes through all the different things that just happened to occur. This happened to occur. And there's always the different levels. Why did they go ahead and end up in Shushan? The capital city was Babel for thousands of years. Answer is because... because of the throne, right? Oh, but really the answer is because Mordechai lived there, right? So we have a duality going on with the whole thing. They move everything over. Everything just happened to fit into the month of the thing where the Jewish people are the strongest and they're going to be able to have a chance to go ahead and take us out. Okay. So now let's take this a step further, shall we? Let's take it a step further. Understand that when we have all of these things that occur, all of these random events that happen, is a random event that things in life start to become a little bit difficult. And things in life that we just like, oh, there's no rhyme or reason. I was listening to Ephraim Waxman, he was talking about the idea of bitachon. Where does simcha come from? Simcha comes from an idea as bitachon. Right? Someone has, it was batuach. Like we say, ein simcha katoris asfekos. There's no joy, greater joy than when you release doubt, when you don't have any doubt. So he goes to explain that the adar is really ultimately the way to get to the highest level of simcha is to live a life which is batuach, come to rest. recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running everything, and that's what it's about. Look at the world, which seems to be all mixed up and all messed around. At the end of the day, and you know another shot like this. And at the end of the day, right, you find out that that even though things are all mixed up, whatever it is, it's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in every aspect of it. Hashem is there for every little thing, and you think that things aren't meant to be good. You think things are really bad, but ultimately these things are really good. Now I want to share with you a story. It's a personal story. Who did I speak to right before the class? Who knows everything I say? Where are you? Did we talk about the miscarriage? Okay, I want to tell you a story. It's not about a miscarriage. I just want to know. So I want to tell you a story. Fine, spoiler alert. Okay, so basically here comes the story. The story is that when I was younger, I got married, and you know, my wife made a big mistake. No, not with that. That's what I'm saying. In reference to what I'm about to tell you, she made a big mistake, and that is that I was learning in Torah Moshe. I was learning in Tomo, and she said to me, "I was in Israel. She wasn't here, so she said, go find us an apartment." Okay, I'll find us an apartment, no problem, right? So you have to understand where I was living. I was living in Tomo, it was called at the time, now they moved places, what's known as the left annex. I don't know why it was called that, but that's what it was called. I lived in a kitchen. When I say a kitchen, it was really half a kitchen that they made into a bedroom. They took a kitchen, they cut it in half. It was a small kitchen, they made it a smaller kitchen, and they cut it in half. It was about small. And there were, like if you take from here to this wall right over here in this area, even move it up a little bit, four guys there. I had the Fleischer cabinets, that was my stuff. And I'm living in this, you know, beautiful facility. You know, there was once the Mashkiach in Tomo once went to a guy and he said to him, you know, how's Yeshiva going? How's everything? He's like, oh, it's okay. He's like, no, how's Ruchnias? How's Gashmias? And the guy goes, what Gashmias? So the Mashkiach laughed. He's like, no, seriously, what Gashmias? Like, what are you talking about? The whole place is the Sadav Ruchni, and that's what they thrive on. Okay, anyway, so I'm living in this, like, very small thing. And she says, go find an apartment. I'm like, all right, fine, no problem. I get out there. I don't think you understand what a palace is. I found a palace, right? I found a palace. We're talking about a place which was like, I don't know if you guys know this stuff, it was 59 square meters. I know that's wild. That's like a third of this room, right? So I found like this massive third of this room apartment. And they had indoor plumbing. I know. It was unbelievable. And I'm thinking like, this is like crazy, right? So my wife's like, did you find the place? I'm like, did I find a place, right? So what happens? We get married in Canada, no joke, CA. N-A-D-A, okay, so what happens, we got married in Canada, we then moved on to New York, about 2 days later, 3 days later, then to Israel, I did throw up on my Shabbat Baruch Hu, so it was a crazy story within of itself, maybe I'll tell you it all the time, but probably not, and then we come there to Shul, eighth day after the wedding, we get back, Gamzu, right, so what happens, we get there to Shul, we come into the apartment, my wife walks in, she looks around, and she starts crying, and I said, I know it's overwhelming how nice this place is. I know I've blown you away. I know I've done it this time. I know I've really done it. And she's like, this is not why I'm crying. Now, I don't know if anybody here has ever for the Avreichim or the Rabbanim, you'll know what I mean. If you rent an apartment here, it doesn't come with anything. Apartments don't come with anything, right? It's not like in America, sometimes you can get like appliances, you know, fridge and oven. It's like, here it's like you're lucky, and I kid you not, the guy took all of the light fixtures. And everything. I was lucky. There was a toilet, but the seat was gone. Right? The guy, everything. It was empty. There was nothing in this apartment. There was one stool. There was a stool. So she sat on it and cried. Right? And I said, what's the problem? I don't get it. What's the problem? I don't understand. Like, what's the problem? Right? And they didn't teach me this. Shalom Bayis stuff. Right? And I was like, okay, don't worry. It'll be good. And then what happens? And then I'll fast forward a couple of months, a little bit. Thank the good Lord, we're expecting a child. And unfortunately, it ended up being a miscarriage. Now, for those who aren't familiar with what that means the baby didn't make, the baby passed away, baby died. And it was a shock to our system, a tremendous shock to our system. Why was it such a shock to our system? So I'll tell you, I'm glad you asked. The reason it was such a shock to our system is because it was so unexpected. As far as I knew, my mother never had any problems with this. I never heard of anything like, what does that mean? You get married, you have children, everything's wonderful. Right? My in-laws, I never heard of anything. I just couldn't understand what's going on. What's happening? It was such a shock to our system. Okay, and then we found out something which is very interesting, phenomenal actually. I was not aware of this at all. Does anybody know, statistically, One in out of how many pregnancies will end in a miscarriage? What do you think?
I don't know.
1 in 15. 1 in 115. 1 in 115. Okay, yeah, what do you say? You know? What do you say? 1 in 3. 1 in 4. Do you have, like, Google over there? What's going on? Right? Like, 1 in... It's kosher. It's native. Right? So, 1 in... 1 in... How many? 1 in 5. Okay, so... I was along the lines like you. I was like, it's got to be like one in a, like probably a billion, right? It's got to be like something like that, you know, 1 in 7 billion or something. And when we found that afterwards, it's, it depends on various factors, but I saw research done between 1 in 3 and 1 in 5, which means, right, we're one, which means you understand as high as 33%, as low as 20%. Now, it could be a person will never have any of them, and someone else will, lo aleinu, I have a Rebbe that his wife had 8, right? So I'm saying, yeah, it happens. I mean, they also have 9 kids, kind of, know, but the idea is that this happens. These when we found that out, right, misery loves company, it was very comforting. It was a very comforting thing, as sick as I may be. But the idea is that it was very comforting. But what was the thing that really knocked me out? The thing that knocked me out the most is the fact that I totally did not expect this to happen at all. I want to share with you a piece which many of you probably have learned by now. If you haven't, you should have. And if you have, there's good chazaran. Okay? And that's found in the Sefer Alei Shor. Say Alei Shor. We know Volbi comes along and he says on page 34, if you'd like to check it out yourselves, he's talking about what's known as Yimei Ava, Yimei Sina Vehayush. Days of love, days of hate and despair. And he asks the following question. He brings up the concept. He didn't really ask it. He brings it out, the idea. That we know that there are days that sometimes we wake up, right? The days we wake up in the morning. I have to, this is not so bad. There was a, does anyone know, everyone ever heard, there was a slogan, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. So I heard once from my friend say, this is awesome, he goes, if the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup, then I don't want to wake up. Right? So anyway, so you wake up in the morning. Sometimes you wake up and you're pumped. You're excited. You just want to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You just want to go. You know, you just want, it raises you up so you can walk on mountains or more religious. It's Harimu Tayadayim, Elavinu Shabbat Shamayim. You're feeling it. You're pumped. Has anyone ever felt a day like that? Whoa, let me shut a bet, guys, here. Anyone? Right? Okay. All right, so I guess you're not there yet. Okay, so you have days and you wake up. I guess it's hard when you get locked in with 3 different locks before you can leave this building. But anyway, the idea is what? The best part. Look, guys. Oh, Hashem, Hashem. Now I know there's a Shana Gimel, a Shana Dalet. Okay, so Shana, hey. Okay, so in any event, the idea is you wake up and you're excited. You just want to daven, and you want to connect to Hashem, you want to do. And there are other days when you wake up when you're just not in the mood. Has anyone experienced that? A lot more heads here. A lot more heads. Yeah. Like, did I ever experience wanting to wake up? Okay, but many of you have experienced the idea that you had days when you loved it, days that you hated it. Comes along Revolvi, and he says the following. Quotes a Sefer Yashar Ben Tam. And he says you have to understand something. Everyone in life has experiences where things which they touch upon when they love. And as soon as you come to a point where you can love something, and this is your heart, the ability, that you could also come to hate that thing. And we find this idea, certain things that we end up, we love this, then we hate this, then we love this, then we hate this. And this idea is what comes along to say, very important, this is normal. It is a normal thing for a person to have experiences in life where you're enjoying it, where you're loving it, and days when you hate that very thing which you loved like crazy the day before. So what should a person do? Number one is to recognize this is normal, because if you don't expect something to happen to you, and it happens, it throws you off like crazy. It throws you off like crazy. And this is like what happened with me, with our experience over there. Right? First, I kidnapped my wife. I move into this country. I take her to this little apartment, like in a dungeon. And then what happens, you have these terrible things that occur. It's like, boom, it just hits you like crazy. If you're not ready for something, it knocks the wind out of you. I was playing basketball. I was in eighth grade, and I was playing with my Rebbe, Rabbi Gershon Kramer. If anyone knows who that is, All right, so Rabbi Kramer is known to be a phenomenal basketball player. All the rumors, right? You know, he was from L.A., got drafted by the Lakers, but it was Shabbos, so it was a Shaila, if he's allowed to. But there was no cameras yet, so it's Mutter. Anyway, he's a good basketball player. And there was this one play time we were playing. I was playing defense. He was on the other team. And as I was running, I ran into what I thought was a wall, and I hit the floor. And the reason why I thought that, because it was a wall that I ran into. No, it really wasn't. I looked up, I was on the floor, it was Rabbi Kramer. Rabbi Kramer, a good ball player, and he was in very good shape, right? I'm not saying he was like hitting the gym, but I'm saying you gotta know where to put your tefillin, you know? But anyway, he was pretty ripped, and I was in 13, right? So nowadays what happens, abuse, call the police, that's what we're suing, right? Okay, back then, I was in school like 3 years ago, but I'm saying when I was there, I remember what said, okay, it's okay, I let it go, I can't hold it back. So what happened, Rabbi Kramer once, he said something about this, things aren't always equal in life. I said, what do you mean? Every action is an opposite and equal reaction, doesn't it? He said, come here. I said, okay. He puts his hand, he goes, slap me five. I slap him five. He smacks me across the face. Was that opposite and equal? Sit down. Right? So it is. Now he said, okay. But the point is that when I ran into that wall and I look up and knocked the wind out of me, he's like, you okay, kid? I'm like, no. Right? He's like, give me anything. I'm like, oxygen. He's like, give me your snorkel. Right? So anyway, so I, it's, what hurts so much is that I didn't expect it. I didn't see it coming. If someone just would have yelled, pick. Even if I would have hit him, I would have expected it. I would have expected it. I hit the floor. I would have hurt, but I'd be able to get back up. When you expect it, then you get able to get back up. People, there are times we're now hitting, where this is like towards the end of, okay, this is not the end, right? Tisha B'Av, or whatever, it's really June, but the people stay till, right? We're towards the end of the year now. Things can maybe slack off a little bit. You understand? Now's the time to start cracking lack and start kicking into the next gear. Start pushing it. Oh, but I'm not feeling it right now. In the beginning, it's awesome. Everybody's into it. Yo. As the year goes on, so you do that just to make sure everyone sees it. You look like you're doing something. But at the end, we kind of lose it. You ever feel for a moment, just when I want to get into it, just when I want to get closer to Hashem, just when I want to connect, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes some sort of challenge in my life. I want to get better. I want to get closer to Hashem. And then I have some certain personal thing that happens, or I learn the things that I'm just not in the mood to learn. Why would Hashem make it at the very moment when I want to grow, when I want to get better, why would He make it challenging for me? And the answer is, my friends, what kind of silly question is that? Imagine somebody goes to a gym. Person goes to a gym and they're working out. They're doing these things, like the lateral thingamajigs, right? Where they go like that, right? Anyone know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Right? So they're doing this thing, yeah? And they're doing their lats. Is that how you guys say it? So they're doing lats, okay? And it's like you hold onto a bar, the strings to a thing in the back's got the thing, and the thing's connected to the screw, and the screw's got the stuff, right? So you go and you pull it down, but really it's weights, yeah? And you have a pin, you pull out, put it into 10, and then to 20. So you're like, 20? What do you mean 100? Anyway, but you go to the thing. A guy's going like this, and he's lifting, and he's trying to do it, and he goes like this. He's like, I think I'm ready. I am ready to grow. I'm ready to grow. So the trainer goes, you ready to grow? I had a trainer. When I was 16, I had a trainer. I used to work out. I know you can tell. Right? If you want to know what it's like to work out, don't do what I do, right? So 3 months. Anyway, so I, this trainer was nuts. He got arrested after, by the way. He really was nuts. But I'm not kidding. He was nuts. And talk about abuse. But anyway, so the idea is, what, your trainer, you say, I'm ready to go. He goes, you're ready to go, I'm ready to go. So he goes, okay, he takes the pin out of 10, he puts it into 20. And then you're having a hard time pulling it. You go, I don't get it. Just when I want to grow, you make it hard for me. Why would you do that? I hate you. The guy's like, you hate me? Lock the doors. Okay, that's a guy. And then the guy called the cops. All right, it was the whole standoff. But what we find is that, what do you mean? You want to grow? You want to get closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu? So Hashem says, fine, I'm going to give you a challenge which is going to make it hard for you, and now you're going to get closer to me. You want to be able to go ahead and grow? Now's the time. Let's go. Let's see what you got now. I remember when I was Shana Aleph, I was learning, and I was having a hard time learning, and I said to one of my friends there, Chaverim, Shana Bet guy, who's like, Shana Bet guys are like the Gadol Ador when you come in. So the Shana Bet guy, I'm like, oh my gosh, are you Shana Bet? He's like, yes. I'm like, oh, you are wise. He says, I am. I says, tell me, I'm having a hard time. I was learning, I'm doing well, but all of a sudden, I know I'm over. So I said to him, I said, what do I do? I said, I'm having a Yurida, right? I thought I was growing and I was doing well, but all of a sudden it's hard for me. He said, listen, my son. I said, Dad. He said, no. But listen. He says, let me tell you what it's like. Let me explain to you a little mushel. He says, do you know how to ride a bike? I said, yes. He said, who taught you? I said, my father. Does anyone here know how to ride a bike? You guys don't do much, do you? Okay, so we have to talk about self-esteem one day. Okay, so has anyone here ever learned how to ride a bike from one of their parents?
Yeah.
Right. First of all, thank them tremendously, right? Because when I taught my kids how to ride a bike, it is terribly painful. Right? Like again, I'm like, no, I can't move, right? And they go ahead. And bottom line is that what? They go to teach you how to bike. And their father, imagine you're on the bike and your father's running with you at the bike. He's running with you and things are going well and you're like, wow, I'm riding. I'm riding and your pace is flying. And you're like, I'm riding. But you don't see it because you're wearing a helmet, Baruch Hashem. And you're riding and your father goes, are you ready? You go, ah, ready for what? I'm riding. He goes, are you ready? You go, I guess I am, but I'm riding. He says, okay, I'm going to let go. He goes, whatever, let go. I'm riding. And obviously, let's go. Boom, right, you hit the floor, and then you sue your father and your teacher, right? You know what ends up happening? And so you don't know how to, and then you're like, forget this, right? And what happens, he explains, that those times when you're flying high and things are going well, that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu carrying. The Kodesh Baruch Hu saying, this is where you can be. This is a level you can get to. Now I'm going to let go. Are you ready? Now it's going to be the challenge. Are you ready for it? Now it's going to, are you ready? Here we go. I'm letting go. You're like, I'm ready. I'm ready. Boom, Tosfos. What's Tosfos? What is Tosfos? Right? Yeah, and all of a sudden, it's like very difficult. Understand, people, that's the time we got to get cracking. This is the time when it gets hard. At the moment when it gets hard, that's when you got to kick it into gear. You may ava, you may sinna, va'yish. We have days of love, days of hate and despair. The days of hate are the days when then you have to use a seichel to overcome and recognize the fact. Don't let a malik destroy you. Don't let a malik come with the idea of suffek and sveikus, which you know the gematria shtiklach, right? And it comes out the idea that the same gematria, we didn't get it, right? And what happens over there that the sveikus should enter into, like, oh, it's hard. Should I even be doing this? Forget it. I'll do something else, right? And I love those guys, I tried learning. I really did. I tried. It's just not for me. It's just not for me. You know what I'll do? I'll work. I'll make money and I'll support yeshivas. Isn't that what you want anyway? Don't you guys just want, this guy asked me once, like, don't you guys just want money anyway? So I said, yes. But we also want your soul. And the answer, they go, I'm just not ready. What are you talking about? It's not ready because you gave up. You gave up. The Gemara Kedushin says you got to try 5 years. That means really trying. We talked about the last time we were Sifus. If anybody remembers, 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, 11 hours. Don't remember that. We got to go with Sifus, really pushing and really putting into it, and then say it's not for you. Baloney. But even then, it's going to be for you. Understand the idea? It's not because it's hard and we give up. At the moment when he gives hard, that's when you got to go push it. Where do we find this? Unbelievable, says Esther to Mordechai. Says Esther to Mordechai, what should I do? What should I do? Says Mordechai, get in there, champ. Go get in the ring. Take on Achashverosh, Achashverosh, Achashverosh. Go get him. Go get Achashverosh. But Mordechai, I can't do it. I wasn't called. He goes, what you talking about? You weren't caught. This is like modern day one. You know what I'm saying? What you talking about? Right? Get in there. Right? He goes, no, but Mordechai, I wasn't caught. I'll be killed. So he says, mi yodea. Who knows that perhaps this is the reason that you came to the Malchus. The reason why you're here is for this moment. And you're going to give it up? How many of us say, what happens is a challenge, I'll take a break. It's hard, let's relax. You're not supposed to overexert yourself. That's the Satan, right? He wants us to overexert ourselves. It's true, there's an essence of, and you have to do this with counsel. But at the same time, don't start to say, it's hard, you're going to stop, you just hit life. Life is when there's a challenge. Life is when it becomes difficult. That's when a person grows. And a person who says, oh, that's too much for me, that's when a person loses everything. That's when you lose everything. Or you just stay the same person that you always were. Understand, life is going to throw things. Life is going to chuck things out of like crazy. And what are we going to do with it? We're going to give up. We're going to stop. We're not going to continue steiging like a beast, right? We're not going to do like, beast steig. We're not going to continue like unbelievable. We're not going to do it. Answers, it becomes too difficult. Are you nuts? It becomes too difficult. Let me tell you a story. Recap, point, done. There was a, if I were to tell you, it's more of like a muscle story thingamajig. If I were to tell you, let's say, what's your name? Yeah. I heard Yisrael.
Pasriel.
What do you say?
Pasriel.
Chaim, listen. She's like, I say, hey, Chaim. Okay, where do you live? Where do you live? Israel's not your home. Okay, fine. You live in Broadway. Do you have a backyard there? Ooh, West Lawrence, is it? Okay, so now let's say you're living in Farakway, okay? And as you live in Farakway, somebody tells you in your backyard, you have in there a treasure chest that is buried. And in that treasure chest, there is $1 billion. You get all of them now. $1 billion in that treasure chest. What would you do? It's in your backyard. It's buried. With what? Spoon? What'd you do with?
Spoons. A
shovel. Good idea. So you take a shovel, right? And you start digging. And your mom's like, what are you doing, Chaim? And you're like, that's not my name. Right? You have to go ahead. And they're doing, you're digging. Nothing here. You go to the next spot, nothing here. Go to the next spot. Then you hit something hard. And you're like, too hard. So then you go to another spot. And you go, Shoite Shibolim. What are you talking about? Of course it's too hard. You hit the gold. At the moment when we hit the gold, says Mordechai to Esther, don't worry about it. We got it all. Hadassah, Moridech, Mordechai, you see what we got here? We got a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're going to win. There's no question about it. We're going to win. But do you want to be the one to do it? And furthermore, maybe this is the whole reason you exist. People, when you hit a challenge and something gets difficult, maybe that's the whole reason. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Okay, let's just quick crack everything out of one point, then we're done. So we start in the beginning. 1:15 when you take off, go to time, go to time. What's up, all? Man, what happens? You said the king closed the door, got a little further, and then 2 hours. It's going to be good. Man, says, yeah, everybody got it. Like, comes on the top. Some guy yells, I told them as a cold. Right? You know what happened? The guy says, what, 114 years ago? What happened? Said, the course is very cold. You're going to think of that. I said, I'm totally fine. I said, what happened? I said, get it. And Nachal Kishon, unfortunately, what ends up happening? Every one of them ends up dying a terrible death or living a miserable life because of the fact of what ends up happening. Baruch Hashem. Hold some Gitov, comes to the top. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't see it. But then they recognize it. The whole idea of what Purim is about. Purim's idea, the whole story is all mixing around. I understand what is happening. Everything is just random. It's stuff like this. Amalek comes along, ideas with Haman is boo. It comes, ideas what to do. Send everything about. Let's just do a poor. Let's just do Purim. Let's just do random Purim. Is Gematria 336 was my address in New York. Okay, anyway, let's move on. Right? Okay, Hanukkah is Gematria. If you take all the things, you add them up, it's 36. It's my address here. Okay, so I've moved. I've raised, right? We maybe went down a little bit because we know Purim is Kippurim. Okay, but after a little further, understanding what is happening, that's what happened. We're going to pretend, no, what we got over here? We're in the month of the smell, fish. Anyway, in the month of the concept of what happened, this is what happened when we get to the highest levels. Things smell like fish when they die, right? When you walk out of the gate, you know, the thing that smells underneath because they leave the food out. Right? Everything stinks a little bit. Okay, understand. What happens? But we have this in the Shama. They say, yeah, what happened in the Shama? Goes down, we can eat everything on a Tuesday. No, but on Friday night, you know what I'm saying? Shabbos day, let's eat more. Right? And what happens? We go eat like a beast because when the Shama say afterwards, you got rid of it. What is the smell? That's the only thing that can come into control. Says we have to ask the idea of smell because the only thing that wasn't Pokemon. And then what happens with his good luck just randomly happened to be that it fell in this month. This month, the only thing that was saved us. Okay, maybe a little bit further. Unfortunately, whatever happened, got married, whatever, moved out to Sodom, got a palace, indoor plumbing, whatever happened, ideas, whatever happened. The concept is that unfortunately starts to cry out of joy or not. And what ends up happening afterwards, we find the thing, a terrible thing occurs, and oh my goodness, what a terrible thing, how we got killed on this. Says Ali Shore, you may have, you're going to have days that are going to kill you. But if you're not ready for it, not aware of it, then what happens, you're not going to be able to get back up. But if you know, pick, then bam! Even though you hit Rabbi Kramer, what happens? You'll be able to get it back up, be able to continue with the idea. People, you've had days when you're loving, you're killing, things are going wonderful, things are going well. And no, okay. Yeah, days that are very difficult for you. Well, how do we get out of it? What are we supposed to do? At those days, you give up, just take a break and just relax a little bit. Torah's not for me anyway. Here's the check. I'll take the check, but get back here. Right? The answer is what? Ourselves, we have to be able to raise ourselves up to the concept where we're not going to give up. That's the gold. When a person goes there to hit the gold is what it's all about. I want to end up with this one last point. Here we go. And then we said that's the idea of what Esther comes up with. Mordechai says, Miodem, case goes to the Malchus, this is the reason why you're alive. When you have a challenge and you give it up, you've just lost your purpose. When a person has a challenge and they overcome it, that's what things are about. That's when you grow. That's when you reach the next levels. So the story goes like this. It's an oldie but a goodie. Have you heard it before? You know the rules. Don't be that guy. So there was a fellow who had a donkey. And the donkey. What did I say? Fellow? Anyway, so there was this man who had an animal, and his donkey was a little bit old, and one day his donkey was falling, and he fell into a well. The guy's like, oh, Shrek, he fell into the well. Bikius. Anyway, so he falls into the well, and he thinks to himself, and this big thing comes, and he looks in the well. He's like, oh no, he looks down, it's an old well, it's done with, there's no water anymore. And he figures like, okay, I can't get it out, it's already gone. It's not dead, but it's not safe either. I'm going to bury it. Not the nicest thing to do, but okay, right? What does he do? He starts to bury it. He starts to bury it alive. First, it starts braying like crazy, right? Then it starts neighing. It figures, like, maybe if I change animals, they'll let me out, right? And then it's like, yo, man, get me out of here, right? And he's like, don't be... Anyway, so he goes ahead, and he's trying, and he's burying it, and all of a sudden, it's quiet. He's like, okay, I guess it's... But it's gone, right? And what happens? Finally, he's going more and more. It's very deep. And as he goes more and more, then he starts to hear this weird noise. And he looks down. He can't see much, but he keeps throwing in dirt. And he keeps throwing in dirt. And then he starts to see some form, something moving. And then he throws in, and he sees something moving. And then he throws in, and he sees something moving, and it's getting closer. And then he starts to see that every time he throws in a thing of dirt, every time he throws in a thing of dirt, it lands on the donkey's back. And the donkey then shakes it off and steps on top of it. And every time he throws it on, the thing on his back, he shakes it off, and then he steps on top of it. And he shakes it off and steps on top until he gets to the top of it, and he walks out. He bites the owner. The owner gets rabies and dies. But hold off on the last part for now. And he walks out. Friends, we're going to have challenges in life. We're going to have things that are going to try to knock us out. And we have two options. We either let those things bury us, and we don't continue growing, or we shake it off. And we step on top of it, and then we become higher and greater than we were the moment before. Take the opportunity. There's so much more to talk about, but I'm not going to do it now. But take the opportunities that are going, and any challenge that we're having, use it in light of this concept of perm. Take the idea, understanding everything's v'nahafachu, everything's upside down. What you see is not what you get, and you think something is really that's not good. It really is good. And understand, use the challenges, use them for your purpose. Like we said from this fellow, that had I not gone through this, who knows what I would have been today. Therefore, this is why I request and I ask of you: who knows? Perhaps the only reason why you came is for the particular challenge that you're going through. Afraylich and Purim. Thank you so much. Bye bye.